This morning's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through to 44, and it's on page 743 of the Church Bibles. The Triumphal Entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? Doing well. Good to see you. Special welcome if you are new with us. So we're saying Jesus brings peace. This is our second in the series, looking at what Jesus brings. Jesus brings peace. Really? Is that really true? Listen to these words, not in the passage we just read, just a little bit earlier. Jesus says this. This is in Luke 12. "I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." So reading that, there Jesus' words, you could say he brings division, not peace. And you'd be right, wouldn't you? You could say Jesus brings nothing but trouble. That day in the temple where he's just a nuisance, isn't he? Where he goes in and he upturns the tables. Like a kid losing a monopoly and upturns the board. He just goes around each table and driving them out of the temple. At the day when one of his disciples swung his sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. Think of the religious leaders. All they want to do is silence him, get rid of him. Why? Because according to them, he stirs up the people. He's guilty of treason against the Roman emperor. He's starting an uprising against Rome. Some say religion is the cause of all violence and war in this world. Christianity included, and they love to point to the Crusades and things like that. Listen to these words from our Nobel Prize winner, Steven Weinberg. Nobel Prize winner, not for peace, for physics. But this is what he says. "Religion is an insult to human dignity. With or without it, you would have good people doing good things and evil people doing evil things. But for good people to do evil things, that takes religion." Wow, that's what he says. And you might have heard other people say maybe not exactly that, but talking about not peace, but exactly the opposite that can come about through our religions like Christianity. So how does Jesus bring peace? Right? That's what we're saying. Jesus brings peace. That's the positive message that we're saying. Jesus brings peace. But how so? What is the peace that Jesus brings? What we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at three passages fairly quickly. Three passages that make this claim in Luke's gospel. So I want you to see what is meant by peace, and then we'll consider how it is true today. So that's where we're headed. So Luke 2 is our first passage. So you might like to turn to that. Luke chapter 2. This is where we first see peace declared. And it's at Jesus' birth. Now we looked at this passage at Christmas. You got the shepherds, they're in the field. And then you've got this angel appears in the sky, and then that one angel is joined by a whole host of angels. The other day I was walking just behind here, just behind the leisure centre, and marvelled there in a tree, this host, this flock of birds, that the sound that they all made, that the chorus, and then as they flew in formation, in unison, it was quite a sight. Here we have a host of angels. They appear to these shepherds in the field. And in unison, they praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So praise to God in heaven and peace to those on earth. Peace to those on earth to whom his favour rests. So not on everyone, those who benefit, those who receive his grace and his mercy, who receive his favour. All right, a lot more could be said. We'll leave that one. We'll move on to the next passage. I just want to see, keep an ear out here, what is said about peace and Jesus and how he brings it. So our second passage is the one that Lyndon read for us from Luke 19. So here, Jesus is very close to Jerusalem. Right? He knows what is going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He knows what lies ahead. As he draws near to the city, what is the message that he brings for his people? This week, Pharrell Williams came to town, and maybe his message was just to be happy. Isn't that, you know, the song, Pharrell Williams, and he just wants us to be happy. Alright, you get the message? Right, that's his message. Whatever is happening, just to be happy. Alright, so he was just in town, and that's his message. Well, in that song. Just be happy. Alright, Jesus, he comes into town. He draws in close to town. What's his message? What's the message that Jesus brings as he comes to the city of Jerusalem? Well, he comes on a donkey. That's how he comes in, on a donkey, which to us might seem a little bit strange, but it is in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Because there it said that the king would come on a colt, on a donkey, bringing the nation's hope, bringing salvation. So as Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem, he's presenting himself as the king. As the one who comes bringing the hope for this nation. All right, that's what's happening here. And this time, we have the crowd of disciples, they announce the peace that Jesus brings. So chapter 19, Verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace in heaven. Just as heaven rejoices when a lost sinner is found, so heaven rejoices when the King enters the city. Jesus comes here as the King in the name of the Lord. He is coming. He is bringing salvation for the people Israel. He brings salvation, and that means peace has come. Because he brings salvation, peace has come as a result of that. All right, we'll come back to that one. Our third passage is Luke 24. Luke 24, and this one is Jesus himself speaking of peace. So this isn't someone else speaking about the peace Jesus brings. This is Jesus declaring it himself. As the resurrected Jesus, what are the first words that he says to the disciples as they're all gathered together? If you've got it there in front of you, chapter 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Peace. It seems to be the first words that Jesus says to all the disciples, at least recorded in Luke's gospel. His message to them, "Peace be with you." He's been crucified. He defeats death. And now he announces peace. Now, it could just be a greeting. If he was an Aussie, maybe he'd come in and said, "G'day guys, how you going?" For them, peace was a greeting that they would use. Shalom. The word shalom is just the Jewish greeting. When I was at college, I did a year of Hebrew. And my teacher there, Wendy, she would start every class with that word, shalom. That was the greeting she had for the class. Jesus comes. Peace be with you. Now, maybe it is just a greeting. Maybe it's word of comfort. They're startled, aren't they? Jesus has just appeared. Like, he was crucified. He now appears right before them. Maybe he's trying to comfort them. But maybe it's something more. So there we have a very quick look at three passages which speak of peace and how Jesus brings peace. Now, I hope you're starting to see what this peace is that is being spoken about here. But I think we need to go back to the Old Testament. To really understand how Jesus brings peace, we need to understand the Old Testament. I've never watched an episode or a minute of an episode of Downton Abbey. But let's say I was to tune in tonight, which I have no plans of doing. But let's say I was tonight and to start watching. Now, it may be helpful for me to know what has come before. I don't know what series this is, but it would probably help to know a little bit about what has come before. All right, Jesus has come. He says he brings peace. It helps us to know what the Old Testament says about peace. So let's have a little look at that. What does the Old Testament say? What's meant by peace there? Well, I want to draw out two things. First, it all had to do with sacrifice. Sacrifice brought peace with God. Remember Leviticus? 2 years ago we were there and we looked at all the offerings that were made. Why did the people need to make those? To make peace. Remember, God is holy. The people are sinful. So for God to be in their presence, they had to make these offerings, these sacrifices, so God could be there in their camp. Right? God's holiness and their sinfulness, it kept them apart. Right? So if God is going to be there with them in the camp, then something had to happen to make peace between them. So God provided this system of sacrifice, different animals for different things, and we looked at all the detail a couple of years ago in Leviticus. The sacrifice brought them together. It brought peace. It meant God could be there with his people. Right? So sacrifice brought peace. But despite this, not everything was good for Israel. Right? They're constantly just unfaithful to God. So this brings us to our second thing about peace in the Old Testament. And that is their hope. Their hope of a Davidic king who would come and bring peace. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this. One place is in Isaiah chapter 9. Let me read verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 9. I'm sure you'll be familiar with these verses. Chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." One more. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This one who will come, he's called the Prince of Peace. Lots of terms there talk about this one in a very divine way. He resembles God himself. But he's also depicted there in very human terms. He's a child who will be born. But it sounds so godlike as well. Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. But I think you're starting to join the dots, aren't you, of what's being said here. Sacrifice, Davidic king, bringing peace with God and bringing in God's kingdom where peace reigns as part of that kingdom. So joining those dots with our three passages that we've looked at. Right, Jesus is born and a whole host of angels announce peace on earth. Jesus enters Jerusalem. He enters the city of God. He enters as king. He comes riding in on a donkey, on a colt. And the crowd announce peace in heaven. And then Jesus appears post-resurrection. And his first words are, "Peace be with you." Do you see the peace that Jesus brings? Are those words of Jesus, "Peace be with you"? I think they are weightier than just a greeting. You see, he's just come back from the dead. Jesus is the sacrifice. He is that once and for all time sacrifice that brings peace with God. It's his death that brings peace between us and God. What did Peter say? "For Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Jesus is the sacrifice that brings you to God. So we are born in sin. We are born separated from God. But Jesus, he deals with sin. He takes it upon himself, so that we can relate to God, so that we can know God. Right, that is good news indeed. The peace that Jesus brings, his sacrifice, his death on the cross for us. But there's more. Because he is also the promised Davidic king. He is both God and man. He is God the Son, yet he is born as a man. That is remarkable. Teaching scripture, year three and four kids on Thursday. We're looking at creation, but then helping them to see how Jesus was part of creation. And for some of them, that really blew their mind, thinking how Jesus existed from the beginning and was involved in creation, that he is God, but then being born as a man. And for some of them, you could just see that their eyes opening, that Jesus is more than what they knew. It is remarkable. Jesus, he is both God, but he's born into this world as a man. And he's defeated death, he's been exalted, he rules. He's there at the right hand of God the Father. The kingdom has come. We prayed it this morning. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This world, it's going to pass away. But God's kingdom will not. It is forever. And Jesus is the one who brings us into that kingdom. Jesus brings us into the kingdom. So if you've come to faith, we've gone from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. And we live in this period of time, this now but not yet. We're part of the kingdom, but we long to be part of it, to be fully part of it. In Jesus, we're part of it, but we're still here on earth, and we long to be part of it in a more full way. We know now the peace that the kingdom brings, but this world is still broken. So we long for the kingdom to come in its fullness, and for that peace to come in its fullness. So that's the peace Jesus brings. It's a peace with God. The peace of salvation. It's the peace of the kingdom. Now often when we talk about peace, the peace we talk about is a world peace. And we want peace. We want nations to stop fighting. Our people not to be against each other. But first and foremost, this peace that Jesus brings that this talks about is a right relationship with God. It's the peace of salvation, the peace of the kingdom. So let me ask, do you have that peace? Do you have it? Do you know that you have it? If not, would you like it? Because it is on offer for you today. This peace that Jesus brings. Jesus says to you, peace be with you. It's yours by trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. You can have salvation. You can be part of the kingdom. For those that do have it, let me finish with three quick things of what it means. Well, firstly, rejoice. Rejoice that you have peace with God. You have salvation. You're part of the kingdom and you've done nothing to earn it or deserve it. We haven't. We are sinful. This is all by God's grace. So rejoice. Rejoice you have peace with God, and it's come about all through Jesus and his death on the cross for you. And secondly, this peace should flow out of us in our relationships with one another. So we have peace with God, and then it flows out to one another. But that's not always the case, is it? Because things come between us, don't they? Someone can say something, or do something, or not say something and not do something. And there's not peace. It hurts us. Our people can hurt us by what they do or say or don't do and don't say. And what do? We can then hold a grudge against that person. And clearly there's not peace between those two people. There's friction. Maybe in your marriage. And maybe you don't even know what you've done wrong, but you know that things just aren't quite right. Maybe someone at work. And the two of you just grind against each other. And maybe it is someone here at church. And for whatever reason, you just don't get on. That something has happened and it's driven a wedge between you. And it's damaging to you and to other people around you. And one thing that comes to mind for me are some words from Colossians. Now let me read them to you. They come from Colossians chapter 3. I'll read from verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." Okay, we have peace with God, and that peace is to flow out as we relate to one another. So is there a relationship which you know you need to work on? Maybe a grievance you need to drop. An apology you need to make. Someone that you need to speak with to put things right. Well, the third implication. We should want others to have this peace with God. Our theme for the year is yes, each one, reach one. All right, and that starts right here. It starts with the person next to you right now. Each one, reach one. And it extends out to the people around you during the week, wherever that might be. Each one, reach one. We have the grace of God. We have peace with God. And now we are to each one, reach one. So it could be with the peace Jesus brings. It could be someone you know. Mums, if you're part of a playtime group or a play group, maybe it's with one of the other mums there. You get to share a little bit with someone else who comes to that group who doesn't come to church. You just get to share with them a little bit about your life as a Christian. And they're interested in what you say. They see that something is at work in you. Maybe it is this peace of God at work flowing out of you. And they're interested. The way you speak with your kids and whoever it is. So you get the courage and you give them a copy of the search, Luke's Gospel. Invite them to read it. And they take it. Maybe it's your next door neighbour. Maybe it's your work colleague, dad at soccer, whoever it is, whoever that person that you see during the week. Wouldn't it be great if you saw someone become a Christian this year? If you saw someone have peace with God this year? I'd love nothing more. Right? They might join us here at this church. You might see them in another context. All right, so it's not just all about growing our church, but wouldn't it be great to see someone become a Christian and have peace with God? I'd love nothing more this year than for you to see someone become a Christian. Is that something you want? Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus and for who he is, for the peace he brings, the salvation, his kingdom. Father, thank you for the grace you've had upon us. And Father, we do pray that more people in this city of Sydney will come to know the peace that can be theirs in Jesus. And Father, use us as you will, that your peace might flow out of us, the people around us, the people we speak to, and that we might be able to share Jesus with them. Amen.